Amen. Thank you, Mark. Great job with a great song. I love that song. It goes back a ways. Tremendous song there. I remember years ago when that song first came out, there was a pro football player, a quarterback. I don't remember his name now, but I just remember the story. He led his team to the, at that time, the greatest comeback in history. And they were down, you know, a tremendous amount of points and came back to win. And he said after the game that that song was his inspiration, that even in that victory, you know, let it be said of me in Christ alone. So, all right, we got to jump in here. Let's go to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. You know, Jonah, you know, we don't realize it, but Jonah is a very relatively short book of the Bible. Only four short chapters. If you're not familiar with where Jonah is, it follows the book of Obadiah. I know that helps you a great deal, doesn't it? But if you need further help, you go to the book of Psalms, turn right, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, keep going past Jeremiah, Daniel, Obadiah, and then Jonah. The book of Jonah. We're going to look at chapter 3, beginning with verse 10, and go through the end of chapter 4. A very popular story here in the Bible, maybe one of the most popular. So let's look at Jonah 3:10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would have bring upon them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a plant, made it come over Jonah, that he might be shade for his head to deliver him from the misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and so it damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished for death for himself and said, "It's better for me to die than live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "Is it right for me to be angry even to death?" But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much livestock?" God, thank you for your word. Thank you for everyone here tonight, Lord. Bless our time in your word. Pray that I will decrease and you will increase. Speak through me. Forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. I read a story written by a missionary who served in Southeast Asia many years ago. He was stationed in the country of Laos, and reported that he learned a valuable lesson about the kingdom of God. He said that there was a conflict between the leaders of Laos and Vietnam about the location of the border between the two countries. Since there was confusion over the border location, it resulted in a disagreement over what country the people that lived along the border would pay their taxes to. So they finally reached an agreement. Those people who ate short grain rice, built their houses on stilts, and decorated their houses with Indian style, India being the country, with Indian style serpents, were considered Laotians and paid taxes to Laos. But those who ate long grain rice, built their houses on the ground, and decorated with Chinese style dragons, were considered Vietnamese. The actual location of their home did not determine the people's nationality, but it was determined by their values, their standards, and their priorities. We today live in a lost, sin-filled, dark and dying world, but as believers, for you and I, it is our values, our standards, and our priorities that reveals to this lost world who we actually belong to. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. This world is not our home. Listen, we belong to, or maybe said another way, we make up the kingdom of God. Therefore, His will should be our will. His values, His standards that we find in His word should be our value and our standards to live by. The Bible teaches that we are called to be separate from this world. We are called to live in obedience to His word and His will. And that is the lesson that Jonah needed to learn. There's a lot to learn in this, a lot to learn in the book of Jonah, but that is what we're going to talk about tonight. The lesson for Jonah was to learn that he was to live by the standards and priorities of God. So tonight's lesson, the title of our lesson tonight, real quick, God's people and God's priorities. God's people and God's priorities. Notice three things here in our passage tonight. Number one, the renewal in Nineveh. Look at chapter 3, verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster He had said He would bring upon them, and He did not do it. As I said a moment ago, the book of Jonah, the story of Jonah and the whale, probably one of the top most popular stories in the Bible. But let's take a moment to review and be reminded tonight about this story and set the context for this passage. Jonah was a prophet of God. He was a man of God that was called by God to be God's spokesperson to God's people. And Jonah, God instructed Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and preach God's word to those people in Nineveh. Now, Nineveh, interestingly enough, Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrian Empire were enemies of the Jews. They had attacked Jews on several occasions. The Jews hated the Ninevites. And so that's what was represented by this city that God told Jonah to go to. The Jews despised the Ninevites. They were a very evil, very wicked, pagan, and ungodly people. But listen, here we go. Listen, God gave Jonah instructions, right? Amen? Go to Nineveh. That was God's will. That was God's plan for God's man, Jonah. But instead, Jonah goes in the opposite direction. He literally paid his fare to get on a boat and go in the opposite direction to the city of Tarshish. Here's Jonah's first mistake. Jonah thought he had an option. Jonah thought he had an option and he could disregard God's plan for his life. God's instructions for us in His written word are not an option. God's will, God's plan for your life, my life, generally speaking from God's word, our specific plans for our individual lives, it's not an option. God's word and God's will, here it is, listen, we should regard that as an opportunity. An opportunity to serve the Lord, fulfill His plan for our life, and help advance His kingdom. When we follow God's will and live His way, it results in peace and joy and contentment. Now, that doesn't mean that life becomes perfect and always rosy. But when we surrender to God and commit to living His will, His way, according to His word, His specific plan for our lives, yeah, then God honors that. Amen? God will honor that and bless you. And you live a life of peace and joy and contentment. Here, Jonah disobeyed God. He traded in peace for a storm. The story goes that he boarded this ship on his way to Tarshish. He disobeyed God, and while he was on this boat, a storm hit. Without going into details, you know the story. Jonah ended up in the belly of a great fish. We normally say it was a whale. And in that belly of that fish, Jonah realized his rebellion. He realized his rebellion and prayed for forgiveness and deliverance. And God restored Jonah. And Jonah then went on to Nineveh and spoke God's word, and the whole town turned to God. Listen, the takeaway here, so many lessons, as I said, to learn in the book of Jonah, but what we can see here is that God is a God of second chances. Here, Jonah deliberately and intentionally disobeyed God, went in the opposite direction he told him to go. But we see here that he repented, he prayed for forgiveness and deliverance, and God used him to reach a whole town. Listen, God loves His people. God loves you. No matter what mistakes we make, no matter how wrong our rebellion, no matter how strong our pride, God's desire is to restore us to a place where He can use us and we can live in victory. Listen, it can be a practical mistake. It can be a choice we make in life that takes us in the wrong direction. It can be something that just one of life's curveballs that's thrown our way. Whatever it is, whatever happens in our life, God wants to restore you to the place where He can use you. Amen? And that's what He did here in the life of Jonah. I read a story about the police in a small town in Idaho. I have the spelling. I'm not sure about the pronunciation. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. The police there stopped a teenage girl after receiving complaints that a car was seen going around and around the neighborhood in reverse. Some of y'all have done that before? No? The girl told the police her parents had let her use the car, but she had put too many miles on it. True story. She told the police, this is a quote, "I was just trying to unwind the mileage." When, that's pretty good Wednesday night illustration, isn't it? When Jonah disobeyed God, Jonah couldn't simply unwind the mileage. When we disobey God, Jonah disobeyed God, he couldn't undo what he'd already done. Amen? When we disobey God and we go in the wrong direction in life, when stuff happens to us in our life, gets us off track, whatever it is, we can't rewind the mileage. We can't undo the past. But God is a God of second chances. He's a God of grace and mercy. And He gave Jonah another opportunity and used Jonah to reach an entire city. And He can use you, restore you, show you grace and mercy, and enable you to do great things. That's point number one. And we're about to go to point number two, but I want to just kind of call time out. I'm going to give you an added bonus. This lesson tonight, for me, it's kind of like a train track that has two rails. In preparing for this lesson, read a lot of commentary, Bible scholars' thoughts, articles, footnotes in preparing the lesson. And I saw there were several sources that referred to what happened in the city of Nineveh as revival. And that's okay. I don't have any notes on this part, this added bonus, so watch out. I know in today's world that revival, renewal, and awakening are all buzzwords that are used frequently today. And they have interchangeable meanings, and that's okay. But they mean different things to different people. But I want to submit to you, start off by saying, what happened in Nineveh was not revival. Amen, right? Some of you are shaking your head acknowledging that. What happened in Nineveh was not revival. In the book of Jonah, in this story, the one who needed revival was Jonah. Revival, if we define it, for all of us to be on the same page, revival means to make new again, to make alive again. So in today's world, we use that term revival, and I'll just share with you, it just seems that God in my life is just giving me this longing for God's to move. Richard and I have had conversations about this and even prayed about it. It's just something that I long for God to move in our nation, among our churches. I'm longing for him to move in my own personal life. Amen. When we talk about revival today and how it would change our nation, it would get our nation on the right track, we often speak of revival as something out there. Revival in another place, them people. We often think that revival is about lost people getting right. We're like Jonah, as we'll see as we continue through this story. We think, man, if we need revival, we just need to see these crazy politicians and these crazy people on TV and all these lost people get right with the Lord. That's not revival. What needs to happen within the church, among God's people. See, what happens, revival, renewal, awakening, history tells us that revival happens among God's people. And then revival can be in one local church. Revival can happen in a region. For example, Floyd County. Revival could break out in the churches of Floyd County. Or revival could happen, you know, in a bigger area, state. Revival can happen in a whole nation. But it's among God's people that revival happens, and it happens within the church. And what happens is it overflows. It overflows. It, as a result, it affects the community. Doesn't happen in the community and then come into the church. Revival happens among God's people and affects the community. Amen? That's what's going to change America. You have this overflow that results in renewal and awakening. So we need revival. But it's not over there. It's not pagan lost people. Yes, if revival happens in the right way, the right time, there can be overflow. We see lost people saved, churches grow, society change. But I do know this, and we'll move on. For us today, for revival, it needs, I want to implore to you tonight, take this away. Revival starts with the prayers of God's people. 2 Chronicles 7:14, there are many examples of revival in the Bible. 2 Chronicles 7:14 has the elements of revival. God said, if my people who are called by my name, you got several steps there, several things that need to take place. And a result of that, God says he'll heal our land. That's what we need today, is healing of our land, right? Well, the first thing he says, humble yourself and pray. So I submit to you, ask you tonight, you may think, I have nothing to say to God that he would move. Oh, yes, yes, you do. We all need to pray for revival and be ready for it to happen within your own life and your own church. Number two, is that good editorial commentary there for you? I've been waiting weeks to say that, so thank y'all. All right, I can do that on Wednesday night, understand, okay? Number two, the renewal of Nineveh. Number one, number two, the reaction of Jonah. We see here chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. We'll just stop right there in the interest of time. You see, listen, Jonah still had some lessons to learn. As we say, he wasn't done yet. God gave Jonah a message, and a whole city got saved. These evil, wicked people surrendered and turned to God. What a miracle. And Jonah, though, reacts in a negative way. Verse 1, we see here, first of all, we see his rage. See, he became angry. Literally says he was angry over this movement of God among pagan people. Hebrew language translates that to boiling and or burning. Verse 2, we see also his resentment. Notice this. So he prayed to the Lord and said, oh, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? You get the tone of Jonah here. Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Listen, some people might look at that and say, oh, Jonah, man, look at him. He's talking to God. But this is more of a complaint than a prayer. You see the tone there? Oh, God, I knew you was going to do this. Even when I was back in my hometown, I didn't want you to do this. I didn't want to be a part of this. Instead of rejoicing over God's work in Nineveh, he resented the fact that God had extended grace and mercy to the very people he hates. The problem was that Jonah was not completely surrendered to the Lord. He obeyed God, yes, but not for the right reasons. He didn't do it from the heart. He did it to get out of the belly of that whale. Jonah knew about the love of God. Jonah knew about the grace and mercy of God, but he wanted it for himself. Talk about revival. The Church of America today, we are not united. We are divided as we have ever been. And I submit to you this evening on Wednesday night that in the Church of America today, we're jealous over God doing something in other churches. We want the latest, greatest lights and music and sit comfortably in our seat and the best programs and so on and so forth. But if God begins to work in another church, we say it ain't real. We're jealous. We ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice in God moving among his people and long to be a part of it. So, in our churches today, God desires, the Bible says, that all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Let's not be like Jonah and think it's all about us. Let's be willing to sacrifice everything and experience the great life of living for God and reaching others who don't know him. Got to move on very quickly here. Number three, we see the renewal of Nineveh, the reaction of Jonah. Notice the response of God, verse 6 through 11. I'll let you read those later. Here's the thing, listen. If God had only wanted to reach the people of Nineveh, look, listen, the book of Jonah would have ended or stopped with chapter 3. God needed to reach and change the heart of Jonah. Jonah's heart was not completely right with God. And God, even though that was the case, he extended grace to Jonah. But Jonah went outside the city to build himself a hut, hang out. God provided a plant to grow over that, to provide Jonah shade. Then God sent a worm to destroy the plant just as Jonah was starting to enjoy it. Jonah's mad. He's still upset. He's a moody individual, wasn't he? God sets the record straight here. He said, Jonah, you cared more about that vine than you did the people of Nineveh. You cared more about the temporary than you did the eternal souls of those people. Warren Wiersbe, commentator, famous pastor from years ago, he said this about this passage in Jonah. He said, when we are angry with God, everything in life gets out of perspective. And we say and do selfish things. Things become more important than people and comfort more important than ministry. In this encounter between God and Jonah, we're ready to close. What we see in this encounter between God and Jonah, what's revealed to us is the values and the priorities of Jonah. Let's make sure we're completely surrendered to God's will. Let's ask ourselves, if our priorities are on the right things, rejoice in the fact that living for God is an opportunity. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be a part of something that is bigger than ourselves. Psalm 40, verse 8, I will delight to do your will, O my God, and your law or your word is within my heart. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you for each and every person here. We thank you for the book of Jonah and the lessons we can learn there, Lord, and the God, we do pray for revival. Lord, our country needs it. Our churches need it. Lord, I need it. God, we ask you to send revival and help us to have the right perspective. May our priorities, our values in life reflect you and your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.